you chose to be here tonight. You know, some choices we make are kind of over and done with. We have choices at lunch at school, and we just go and choose whatever, and that choice is pretty well done. Or maybe we have a couple of vehicles in the morning, and we choose which one to take. Well, that's pretty well over and done. Not all decisions are like that, though. Other choices are ones where we have to continue to choose. And we have to continue to choose because our choice requires constant attention. When a couple chooses to raise a family, well, that involves countless choices throughout life. Choosing to go to heaven, choosing to be with God is the type of decision that requires daily choices. Daily choices, not weekly choices or monthly choices, but daily choices. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, near the end of that book, God is going back over the covenant with the children of Israel that he had made with them, and he's reminding them of the importance of choosing life, life with Jehovah. Our text is from Deuteronomy chapter 30, beginning in verse 11. But we're going to be focusing on verse 20. But we're going to go and begin reading in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 11. Recall this, of course, is God speaking through Moses to the children of Israel before they go into the promised land. He says, "For this commandment which I command you today is not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, 'Who will ascend into heaven for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it?' Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, 'Who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it?' But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. See, I've set before you today life and good, death and evil. And that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments, his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him. For he is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them." Notice he says three things there that are all involved with choosing life, with choosing what's good. Number one is, love the Lord your God. Love the Lord your God. In Matthew chapter 22, we have these wonderful words left for us toward the end of Matthew's account of the gospel. And beginning in verse 37 of Matthew 22, we have these words. After being asked, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment." Your love, your affection for the one who gave you life should be greater than any love you have for anyone else or anything else. Period. That's what he says. It doesn't make any difference when you look out into the world. Everything is second to God. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your strength, your might. This is what's important. That's why he calls it the first commandment. This is the greatest commandment. There's nothing more important, period, than putting him first. So it says, choose to always love God first. Choose to always love him the most. When decisions are looked at from that viewpoint, decisions are easier to make. When you're confronted with two or three or four or five choices, look at which one will allow me to put God first. That's choosing life. That's choosing Jehovah. That's choosing God. When you love someone, you care about what's important to them. That's what you do. I love my wife, so I'm concerned about what's important to her. I want to know what's important to her. I want to find out what's important to her. Similarly, I want to look and find out what's important to God. Have you ever thought about what's important to God? From Genesis to Revelation, what's important to God? What does the Bible say God is concerned about? What is it that He says is important? Because if I love God, then I'm going to be concerned about what is important to Him. The Bible says there's a lot of things that's important to God. Holiness is important to God. Therefore, it should be important to me. Truth is important to God. It should be important to me, too. Justice is important to God. I should think justice is important. Integrity is important to God. I should feel integrity is important. Righteousness, right living is important to God. Those things should be important to me because I love God and God thinks those things are important. Going back to my analogy with Denise, if she thinks certain things are important, I should understand that. I should know that. They should be important to me. In Psalm 93, verse 5, the psalmist tells us this about God. Psalms 93, verse 5. The psalmist says, in referring to God, "Your testimonies are very sure. Holiness adorns your house, O Lord, forever." Holiness adorns your house. See, that's important to God. Holiness needs to be important to me. It should be something I'm concerned about because I love God and it's important to Him. In Psalm 33, verses 4 and 5, the psalmist says this about God. Psalm 33, verses 4 and 5. The psalmist says, "For the word of the Lord is right, and all His work is done in truth. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord." Truth, righteousness, justice. God loves those things. Those things are important to God. They need to be important to me. When I look out into the world, I need to be concerned about holiness and righteousness and justice and truth. Those things need to be important to me. Far more important than the material things of the world. Those things need to concern me. I need to want to know what they are and what they look like in our world. What does holiness look like in our world? What does integrity look like in our world? What does justice look like in our world? Those things need to be important to me because they're important to God. So choosing life means choosing to love the Lord your God. And that means choosing those things that are important to Him. Those things I just mentioned. So the natural question is, are those the type of things we're pursuing? Are those things important to us? Are we allowing the temporary things of the world to crowd out time with God? I don't like things to crowd out time with Denise and I. Sometimes I get aggravated about it, actually. I should feel that way about time with God. I don't want things to crowd out my time with God. That's important time. It's critical time. Why? Because I love God. Do you ever not do what God wants you to do in order to do what you want instead? That kind of hits home a little hard. But it's important. It's important for us to think about things because that's choosing life. Part of choosing life is choosing to love the Lord your God and choosing those things that are important to Him. So we have to be careful about our time with God and not allowing things of lesser importance to crowd them out. Choosing life means choosing to love the Lord your God. The second thing our verse says, choosing life is choosing to obey His voice. God spoke to Moses directly. Well, God doesn't speak to us directly. God doesn't send us visions. God doesn't send us some sort of direct revelation. But He sent us His voice in His Word. That's His voice. When we read Scripture, we're listening to the voice of God. Because that's where our faith comes from. Our faith in God comes from that. Romans 10:17 tells us that, doesn't it? Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So listening to His voice means listening to His Word. Because that's where His voice is preserved. We don't have a CD of His voice. We don't have a tape of His voice. But we have His written Word, which is His voice. So when we begin reading in Genesis 1 and go all the way through Revelation 22, we are listening to His voice. We're hearing His voice. In Joshua chapter 24, Joshua chapter 24, very end of the book, beginning in verse 24, Joshua 24, verse 24. And the people said to Joshua, "The Lord our God we will serve, and His voice we will obey." So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and made for them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. Then Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and he took a large stone and set it up there under the oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. What did he write? Those words, God's voice. He wrote God's voice in the book of the law. We have to have the right kind of heart. We have to be willing to listen to His voice. Notice what this says, Mark chapter 4, about listening. Mark chapter 4, verse 12. Mark 4, verse 12. Jesus had been talking to them about parables. Now he quotes the Old Testament in verse 12 from Isaiah. "Seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them." Talking about people who could hear, but they really weren't listening. They heard, the words were there, they went in, but they weren't listening to them. Therefore, they couldn't understand because they weren't listening. They didn't have the right heart. They weren't willing to listen. Maybe we're too busy to listen to His voice. Maybe we're too busy to hear what He has for us to do. That means we need to have the right heart and not allow things to take away from our time with Him. And that's how He's speaking to us. We want to hear from Him. We want to hear from Him. I want to hear from my wife. I like to hear from her. I like to hear from God. And that's how I hear from Him. From what the Bible tells me. Obedience follows listening, doesn't it? If we really listen to His voice, obedience follows. Verse 20 said, obey His voice. Obey His voice. In James chapter 1, And you can stay in James because we're going to look at James chapter 2 as well. But in James chapter 1, beginning in verse 22. James chapter 1. We'll begin reading in verse 22. James writes, "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he's like a man, observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man will be blessed in what he does." There's a blessing pronounced upon the one who continues over and over and over to listen to God's voice and then to do it. See, obedience follows listening. Obedience follows listening. If we're really listening to what God has to say, then we're going to obey. We're going to follow. Why? Because of who He is. We love the Lord our God. Therefore, we are going to obey His voice. So, obedience follows listening. And I should have stayed there at James. I told you to, but I didn't. That same writer tells us in chapter 2 that obedience is linked with faith. Now, continuing to think about looking into the perfect law of liberty and continuing in it and being a doer of the work, beginning in James chapter 2, verse 17, James writes, "Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." Is dead. But someone will say, "You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works." I'll show you that I have faith, that I possess faith. Skipping down to verse 24, "You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only." Listening, believing, and obeying, they are all linked together. We listen to God's voice, and then because of who He is, the fact that we love Him, that instills within us faith, and it's that faith that produces obedience. Listening to His voice, believing in what He says and saying, and following what He says. They're all linked together. Choosing life. Choose to love the Lord your God. Choose to obey His voice. And number three, choose to cling to Him. Choose to cling to Him. Hold fast to Him. Glue yourself to Him. Glue yourself to Him. I'm thinking of a young child who, when they see a stranger, what do? They usually cling to their mom or dad's leg, right? And they don't want to let go of it. That's the idea here. We cling to Him. We hold fast as if we are cemented to them. We're inseparable. We're inseparable. Back in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 20 tells us something about this very thing. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 20. Deuteronomy 10, verse 20. "You shall fear the Lord your God, you shall serve Him, and to Him you shall hold fast and take oaths in His name." You shall hold fast. See, you're inseparable. You're inseparable. There's a lot of things in this world that will try and separate us from God. Paul, when he wrote to the church at Rome, mentioned some of those things that some allow to separate them from God. In Romans chapter 8, he mentioned some of those things. Beginning in verse 38 of Romans chapter 8, Paul writes, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing, shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." inseparable. The Bible says that sometimes our family tries to separate us from God. Sometimes friends try to separate us from God. Jesus mentioned this in Matthew chapter 10. In verse 37, he says, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." Sometimes family, sometimes friends can try and separate us from God. But our text tells us, cling to Him, hold fast to Him, be inseparable, be glued to Him. One has to be firmly committed to the Lord. There are so many things in our world that tug us away from God. Tug us away from living right. Tug us away from setting an example at work. Tug us away from time in prayer. Tug us away from studying God's Word. Tug us away from gathering to worship. And on and on. But we have to be firmly committed. We can't be lukewarm like the church in Laodicea in Revelation 3. They were lukewarm. They had a little bit, but not enough. And Jesus said, "All I want to do with you is just vomit you out of my mouth. You just make me, you just disgust me." In Psalms 37, verse 5, the psalmist tells us this in verse 5. Psalm 37, verse 5. Put yourselves in David's shoes. This is considered to be one of David's psalms that he wrote. Think about the things that he went through in his life. Remember, he was on the run from Saul for a long time. Verse 5 of Psalm 37 says, "Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass." Commit your way to the Lord. Hold to Him fast. Because if you cling to Him, that verse says, then whatever He says, we're going to do. Whatever He says, we're going to do. You and I have power. We can choose life. We can choose to love the Lord our God. We can choose to obey His voice. And we can choose to cling to Him. Nothing in the world, that's what Paul was trying to get across to the church in Rome there in Romans chapter 8. There's nothing in the world that has the power to separate us from the love of Christ, the love of God. Nothing has the power. But we can choose to give that up. See, it's up to us. We have the power to choose life. We have the power to choose death. Just like Joshua said in Joshua 24, this is the day you need to make a choice. Choose you this day. Are you going to choose life or are you going to choose death? Are you going to choose what's good or are you going to choose what's evil? You don't have to choose death. You don't have to choose evil. You can choose what is right. Love God, obey God, and cling to God. That's choosing life. And that's the message of the hour. That's the message the world needs to hear. They need to choose life, not choose the temporary things of this world, the fleeting seasons of this world, the passing pleasures of this world. Remember what Moses chose to do. He did not choose those passing pleasures of this world. He chose to do what was right. The choices were set before him. He chose what's right. We must too. Whether it's in becoming a child of God, whether it's in confessing our wrongs, whether it's in asking for forgiveness, we need to choose what is right. And tonight, the choice is yours. If you have any need at all, we encourage you to make that choice to come as we stand and sing this song. Thank you.